The College of Business has long embraced a culture of continuous improvement. It means always being open to new ways of doing old things as well as new things. It means accepting that while we may be doing things well, we can always do them better. Our courses are never chiseled in stone because there is new knowledge, new trends, new methods. The paint on the canvas of our courses never really dries, and that's by design. Today, we look back on a development that allowed us to offer students a big boost to their credentials, and we're going to look forward to see where it's going. Roll the intro.
You're listening to Buff Speak, the official podcast of the Paul and Virginia Engler College of Business at West Texas A&M University. I am Dr. Nick Gerlich, your host, as we meet up with the thought leaders making an impact today.
My guest today is Dr. Mary Liz Brooks, the Associate Professor of Digital Business and Communication, and also the Barbara Petty Professor of Business Communication. Welcome to the show, Mary Liz.
Thank you. It's so good to be back.
It was about this time last year that you were on the show to tell us about exciting certification programs we were able to offer to College of Business students through Coursera. And now we've gone through a full academic cycle, and we have some results to discuss. But first, tell us a little bit about Coursera for the sake of a refresh here, what it is, the types of certification programs available, and how and why the COB was chosen to do this.
Yeah, sure. Thank you for this opportunity to kind of give you an update of how the first pilot program, the first year of this pilot program went, and yeah, where we're headed. But anyway, Coursera is an online learning platform, and they have different segments. They have a business segment, an industry segment, and an academic or education segment, where Coursera offers thousands of courses related to a person's industry or discipline that they are learning from or about. So they offer tons of courses and guided projects, but one of the main elements is their professional certifications or their micro credentials. So I really can't even tell you the amount of information that one can get from Coursera. We, as a College of Business, are part of their Career Academy, okay? And so that Career Academy offers 50-plus professional certifications, again, tons of guided projects, individual courses, things of that nature. But again, Coursera is much larger than just the Career Academy. But the Career Academy category aligns well with us and with the education system. Anyway, so how we got involved in this was over a year ago, the Texas A&M University system sent out a call for proposals for all of the colleges of business within the system. So those colleges of business could apply for this pilot program, which would allow whichever colleges of business that were accepted to integrate these Career Academy offerings within their courses, whatever that looks like for the professor. So anyway, we were one of five colleges of business that were accepted into this pilot program over a year ago. So within this pilot program, we have 1,000 licenses, and so those licenses, they are given to anyone associated within the College of Business currently. So students, graduate, undergraduate, faculty, if they want to retool on their discipline, as well as staff. So anyone within the College of Business currently could get access to a license and to anything that was offered within the Career Academy catalog. So that's how we got started. And we are now, because of the success of the program, we are now in year two of this pilot program that, again, Texas A&M, the system, is contributing their resources to.
So how did we do?
Okay, first of all, let me tell you how these were embedded. These micro-credentials were embedded in the various coursework within our College of Business. So some faculty embedded them as extra credit. Some we did as student organization challenges. Some we did as course curriculum requirement. For example, they had to, the students enrolled in a specific course had to complete at least one certification that was aligned with that course. And I know we're going to go over that a little bit later. We also offered this in some workshops, some student orgs, things of that nature. So we really tried to be creative in terms of integrating the Coursera Career Academy in the various classrooms, in the organizations, things of that nature. So that resulted in, we had college-wide integration. So every department within the College of Business integrated Coursera into numerous courses. So MMGB, CIDM, AEF, even at the graduate level, at least some one of those disciplines integrated Coursera. So we had, in terms of numbers, because I know the numbers are very, very important, and this is what's great about Coursera is they give you all the data of your learners. So we had, over the last academic year, so this started in July of 2024 through the end of June 2025. So I can tell you some of our numbers, and it's probably more than this, actually. This is just the last time that I looked at it, which was back in the summer. So learner engagement, we had at least 12,000 plus learning hours, so that would be about 11 hours per learner. Certifications earned, we, our students, faculty, staff earned 2,500 plus courses completed. So that means they completed at least one course within the full professional certification. And what's great about that is if they completed one course, two course, whatever, they get a certification for each course. Okay. Not only that, but we had students earn 200 plus professional certifications. So that's a lot of professional certifications because there's a lot of courses within this career academy, not just courses, but modules within it. It's very detailed and very structured. Then we had at least 700 guided project certifications earned. So that's the metrics. I also have feedback from students, but I don't know if you want that now or...
You can go ahead and do that
okay,
now.
Okay, great,
yeah,
great,
let's
great.
Hear it.
So typically what I will do is poll the students at various times, various classes, whatever, just to kind of get the pulse and their take on Coursera, how valuable it is and everything. So career impact, several students mentioned that the certificates enhanced their resumes, boosted confidence, and aided in job searches or career clarity, which is really, really important. One student had a comment. And that person said it beefed up my resume. Some cited specific benefits like getting a full-time job, exploring career interests, or gaining negotiating power for salaries. And another student comment, courses offered career guidance, which helped me feel more confident. So I think that is really, really wonderful. This is a value add for our classes and for our students. Let's see, learning and skill development. Many students praise the relevant and high quality content, particularly certifications from industry leaders like Meta and Google. One student said learning React from Meta, who created it, was a strategic choice. We also had faculty comments. Coursera has been a great experience for me as an instructor teaching marketing courses. It has allowed me to introduce current content in a non-traditional manner that piques the students' interests in the subject in a unique way. So just really, really positive feedback from the students, from faculty. So we're really excited that we have this for another year that the system is providing for us.
Now, you mentioned other parties that are creating the content like Google and Meta. Describe the relationship that Coursera has with the content providers. I mean, is Coursera a content creator or a conduit, a distributor of somebody else's content?
So yeah, they have a really good relationship with not only industry partners like Google and Meta and IBM. I mean, the list goes on and on. But also they have good partnerships with universities that also create content. You'll hear from various professors from various universities. So yes, I think that they are primarily a conduit, but they oversee everything and they vet the information. They vet who they're going to partner with. And it's not, again, not only just used in academia, it's also used to help people within their careers already. So, for example, I know we're going to talk in a minute about this conference that I just recently attended, the Coursera Connect conference. But industries like Estee Lauder, I know that they won an award. And I never would have thought Estee Lauder, because, you know, it's makeup, it's perfumes, whatever they sell, I never would have thought that that is a company would think through professional development for their employees. They want to see their employees get better, and one way they can do that is through Coursera. So I thought that was really interesting, but yes, Coursera is not necessarily the creator of the content. They get the professionals, the organizations to create the content, and then they, again, vet that information and put it out there.
And so somebody like a Google or a Meta or whatever, are they creating this content specifically for Coursera, or do they get extra mileage out of it in their own ways?
Oh, I'm sure they do get extra mileage out of in their own ways. But yeah, it's primarily for Coursera and Coursera learners. But for example, you're mentioning Google. I know I've done the digital marketing and e-commerce. It's people who work at Google who are teaching us what's going on within Google in terms of digital marketing. But it's not just specific to Google. A lot of it is, it's Google branded. It's what they do at Google, but it's also umbrella terms that someone can learn to take into maybe another digital marketing industry.
So tell me about your experience at the class level, not as the overseer and coordinator of all this, but how did it go in your classes?
So this is my third semester to integrate it into my courses. So I'll just go over a little bit. Last academic year, this was all new to us. So Coursera was all new to us. So we were just kind of experimenting and like, I'm not sure what this is or how to do this. But I just put it in some classes. Some other people did too. And it worked out really, really well. There was obviously some learning curves for all of us, even the students. And so because of that first year, I have a much better handle on it this year and what students can expect, much better ways to help them troubleshoot, much better ways to help them outline their own progress within this. But so last fall, I integrated this into courses in a variety of ways. So I did some guided projects and some courses that seemed to fit that better. I did a full certification for another course, and I offered some extra credit. Sometimes when a student would miss an assignment, I don't take late work, but if I wanted to throw them a bone, I would say, okay, well, you need to earn a certification to make up for the assignment that you missed, and it has to align with what we're talking about or something like that. So that also really, really came in handy because, you know, I could help them. They could also learn something else. And also it gets their feet wet with Coursera. And so I'm like, hey, if they like this one course that they're doing as like a makeup assignment, maybe they'll continue on and finish out the entire certification. And then in the spring semester, we had a course dedicated to students earning certifications. So they had to earn, depending on the course load within Coursera. So for example, I had CIS students and I had marketing students and I had management students all in this course. And so those are all different disciplines. And so what Career Academy offers, some are more rigorous in terms of the amount of courses than others. So for example, if I had a marketing student who was doing maybe the public relations and advertising, the Microsoft Public Relations and Advertising Certification, well, that might have been five courses. So for a semester, they could knock out two professional certifications. So maybe they would go and pick out another one that was five course long. Now, my CIS students, they would have like cybersecurity ones, and those would be 15 courses long. So those are much heavier. That's a much heavier load for one certification. So either way, I tried to make it equal. You're either going to get two or you're going to do one. And so that worked out. We got, I think they got 30 plus professional certifications within that, because I had 20 students enrolled in that. And it was just great. It was a great course. I think we're going to offer it again in the spring.
I went down the path of requiring my students to do this, and I incentivized it. It was worth 1.5 letter grades if they did the whole thing. There were seven individual courses or sub-certifications, I guess, if you will, within the broader professional certification. And I was pleased with the results. I had about 85-90% of students complete the entire certificate, and that's at both the undergrad and graduate level, different semesters. But I was very pleased with the outcomes there. I thought it was good. I didn't want to make it worth too many points because I didn't want it to take away from what I was teaching, you know, because I thought that was still important too. But on the other hand, I didn't want to make it so insignificant that they could just blow it off.
Yeah, agreed. And that's the purpose of this. This is not to replace anything that the professor is doing. It's to add to what the professor is already doing. And so to what extent, that's up to the professor. And similarly, I mean, I have a ton of content that the students need to learn. But this is, again, this adds to what they are learning. It's just kind of a reinforcement of information that we're already giving them. So no professor doing this is relying upon this. It is just a way to enhance their learning. And also, I mean, once they earn a certification, whether it's the full professional certification or a guided project or a one-course certification, that is a visual that they can put on their LinkedIn profiles. They can also put that credential symbol on their resumes. I've had students who have put them in their portfolios, especially in the visual world that we're in marketing. Yeah, it's just to show potential employers that these students go well beyond the classroom in terms of their learning and in terms of their professional development. And, you know, they're going to be lifelong learners. And this is one way to do it. So, yeah, I agree with you. This is a low impact grade within our courses.
Are these certifications rare enough that a student who has one will stand out head and shoulders over their peers who might be applying for the same job?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that it is rare enough. I think it's probably going to get to a point where it is just kind of the standard. But right now, yes, it is rare enough. And I know that it is rare enough because I get so many students outside of the College of Business who have maybe heard about this from some of their College of Business friends asking me for a license because they know that it is a rarity as well. And, you know, I have to say, you know, I can't take a College of Business class and you can certainly, you know, have a license and work towards whatever your professional goals are. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, students are, you know, they like the look and the branding of these different organizations that they can be associated with. And not every university, not every College of Business offers this. And so it makes us rare, too, as a College of Business.
After the break, we'll take a look at that conference that Mary Liz recently attended and what she learned. Mary Liz, you recently went to Las Vegas to attend this Coursera conference. What were the big takeaways?
The MBA is the most popular graduate degree in the United States, and with good reason. It leads to better jobs, promotions, and salary increases. At the Paul and Virginia Engler College of Business at West Texas A&M University, our MBA program is entirely online for when you're ready to make that move. With as few as 31 credit hours and specializations offered in 5 areas, you can fast-track your career in as little as 18 months. Whether you're looking for a promotion or initial job placement, you'll stand head and shoulders above the competition. And because we've been teaching online since 1997, we're not the new kids on the block. Trust your education and career to dedicated faculty who are not only experts in their fields, but also old pros in the online arena. Our consistently high rankings say it all. A GMAT waiver is available. We're AACSB accredited and among the most elite of business schools around the world. Reach for the stars and do it with a WT MBA in hand. For more information, find us at wtamu.edu/COB or call 806-651-2500. From the Texas Panhandle to the world, we're here to help you reach those stars.
Mary Liz, you recently went to Las Vegas to attend a Coursera conference. Tell us about it. And what were the big takeaways?
Okay, I will tell you about the big takeaways that I learned from the Coursera Connect 2025 conference. But one thing that I do want to say is that because of the numbers that we put up, the 5 colleges of business within the system, Texas A&M University system, was named a finalist for one of the 2025 Coursera Outstanding Achievement Awards. The award specifically was the Rising Star Award. And essentially what that means is it's a new partner award, and we were named as a finalist because of the numbers that we put up within a short amount of time of launching this pilot program. So we were a global finalist, and that's a really big deal because Coursera has so many global partners, education-wise, industry-wise, whatever. So we were really, really honored to be a finalist within that. And I just want to mention again the 5 universities, the 5 colleges of business that were part of this within the system. So that was Texas A&M International, Texas A&M Corpus Christi, East Texas A&M University, Texas A&M University, Texarkana, and then us, West Texas A&M University. So because of those 5 colleges of business and everything we did to integrate these certifications within those colleges of business, this is why we were named as a finalist. And so we were really, really proud of that. Not only that, but because of the success of this, there are 2 additional colleges of business who are now part of the year 2 of the pilot program, and that is Tarleton and Texas A&M University Kingsville. So now there are 7 colleges of business from the system involved in this pilot program because of the success that we had in year 1. Anyway, you want to know what I learned from the Coursera Connect conference? Well, I learned a lot. We had various panels that we attended. We had keynote speakers. But a couple of things that I learned, I could tell you all day long what I learned, because it was just one of those conferences that you cannot get enough information, and it just like excites you, and you're like, ooh, we can do this, we can do this, we can do this. You just, so many ideas were spurred. Anyway, a couple of things that I learned was that Coursera is really focusing more on personalized learning for the student. So they are using different tools, like there's something called Course Builder. They're also using AI. They're using something called Skills Tracks, where they are trying to personalize the certifications for students so that the students aren't really wasting their time on things they already know or they are already perhaps experts in. So we know students are all over the board depending on their knowledge of whatever discipline they are in. Some know more than others. And so Coursera wants to speed that along for those who are well beyond the novice stage. So personalized learning, that is something that they are working on. They are integrating AI at a great level and in different ways. The other thing that I learned is because of this personalized learning element, Coursera has a really forward-thinking mindset. So Coursera is surrounded by education change makers. That's who they want to work with industry change makers, and they are a change maker as well in terms of how people learn. So that's what I learned from the Coursera Connect conference, is that this is a forward-thinking organization, and they are here to help the various partners that they are associated with in whatever way that looks like.
So tell us about the attendees, how many there were, and what were their backgrounds?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't know the exact number, but there were a lot of people milling about. I mean, hundreds of people were there at this Connect conference. And so it was great because it was academics along with industry people, along with, you know, the people that work at Coursera. So it was all of us, and we just all mixed and mingled together. We went to sessions together, and it was just great. I mean, they had the breakout sessions for government. They had breakout sessions for education. They had breakout sessions for business. So most of the time, if you fell into one of those categories, you would go to those breakout sessions. But in the keynote speeches, at the lunches, the dinners, we would all just kind of mix together.
And what do you think it was that our system schools did that caused us to get this Rising Star Award?
I think that the five colleges of business that were in the pilot program the first year, a few things made us successful. First of all, we have Texas A&M administrators who are overseeing this, who attend our weekly meetings. We have a weekly Coursera pilot program meeting. We have had this meeting for a year, even moving into this semester. We're still meeting every Thursday. We met in the summer, and it's the five colleges of business. Now it's seven colleges of business. Our leads, the Coursera leads for those campuses, the Coursera, a couple of Coursera reps. We also have some Texas A&M administrators who will come to these meetings. They're obviously via Zoom, and we just hash out details. We talk about, you know, things we're struggling with, ideas on how to integrate. So that is one thing that has made us really, really successful, is this, what they call a community of practice. And it's so nice to be able to talk to these other people that are going through this pilot program, because they understand, they speak the language. We understand, you know, where we're having issues or where we're being successful. So it's just been so great, that community of practice. And another reason why we're so successful is because it's easy to implement Coursera, because Coursera has really great content, and the students know how good it is, and the students are asking for this stuff. I mean, again, a lot of the success for us has been not just us integrating it, but word of mouth. Other students in our classes, for example, last week I had two students in my class say they have a friend who's in a college of business, in the college of business, and her courses aren't integrating it right now, and she wanted to know if she can get a license. I was like, yeah, you bet. So she reached out to me. She's like, I heard about it. I'd like a license. She told me what her major was, and so she has a license. So she wants to work on it on her own, even in a class where it's not being integrated right now.
So you mentioned the three different tracks, industry, government, education. Were these informative, or were they trying to sell us more stuff, or what?
No, absolutely not trying to sell us more stuff. Yeah, extremely informative. I mean, I can't tell you the amount of notes that I took within these different breakout sessions. And so they would have, again, administrators or faculty or whomever on these panels, the ones that I attended, telling them their process and how they went through it and the various tools they used and the success rate that they had and the skills gap that is closing because they're using Coursera. Within their classes, their universities, some were even from high schools. They are using it at the high school level. You know, they're using it internationally. I mean, the stories that you heard from these people were just amazing in terms of how Coursera is a conduit to helping others within, you know, the education system or business or whatever.
So did you pick up any ideas on maybe new ways or better ways to deploy this and use it in our curriculum?
Yes, I came up I came away with a lot of different ideas, and some that, you know, obviously I'll talk to administration here about how can we implement this in this way. One thing that I am doing in one of my classes, Principles of Marketing class, is I am, they are, the makeup of the students is very different. I have mostly accounting majors in there. I know, which is unusual, right? They have to take principles of marketing within the College of Business. So I have primarily accounting majors. I have some marketing majors. I have management majors. I have a graphic design major. I have a mix of people. I have ag comm majors in there. So what I am doing this semester with Coursera is, because accounting or finance or marketing or management, we all sometimes feel like, how does this relate to this? You know, how does marketing really relate to accounting? And so I don't know that students always get that connection through the content all the time or the textbook or whatever. So this, what I'm doing is, each of those students had to pick a Coursera certification that they are going to do over the course of this semester in Principles of Marketing. So if they are an accounting major, they can pick a certification that aligns with what they want to do, accounting, whatever. And then I am, excuse me, partnering them with a different major. And so there's going to be kind of a peer partnership where they are learning their discipline-specific certification. The other person is also doing something different, but they're coming together and they have to align the information. How does it align with marketing? How does it align with one of the four P's of marketing? So how does accounting and what you're learning in this accounting certification align with a 4P? So, and then they have to talk to each other. And the reason why I'm doing this is so there aren't so many silos amongst the different disciplines within my class. So Coursera is helping bridge that gap too. The students are going to learn from other people and from other disciplines, but the through line.
So is this an annual conference?
Yes, it is an annual conference. This is the first one I've been to.
And do you have plans to go again next year?
Well, I hope so. It is a really fun conference. It was in Vegas, and Vegas is just a fun city, but this conference was so well put together. Like, I wish an event planning class could go to this conference and see the branding, the consistency in branding, how approachable everybody was. I mean, and to me, that just lends credibility to Coursera itself. They are so intentional at this conference, so I know that they are intentional with the content that they are putting out to the public.
Well, I know Vegas is an easy sell for conference attendees. They happen to have a little bit of entertainment there.
They do. They do.
What hotel was it held at?
Caesar's Palace.
Oh, well, yeah, yeah. No problem there.
No, it was great. It was great. But honestly, I mean, you know, at a lot of conferences, I'm like, you know, I'm going to go explore the city. But no, the content was so good at this, I just stayed there and listened to everything I could get access to.
Well, that's good. And Caesars is kind of like on the 50-yard line along the strip. So if you wanted to venture out, you could go either way.
Yeah, you could.
Quite easily.
That's right.
So I tell my students that they get this certification opportunity here at no cost to them. But I have no idea what it would cost if they had to pay for it. And I guess it depends on the course or the certification program, but if you had to guess a cash value,
yeah,
what would it be?
Sure, for sure. So yes, it is. It does vary in cost. I mean, if they want to get a guided project, that's a different cost because that's lower in terms of rigor. I mean, it's more of a practical 1 to 2 hour thing that you're learning, maybe about how to put a post together or something like that, versus professional certifications, which that's more rigorous. So I don't know their price point, but I do know that if just a consumer out there wanted to pay monthly for Coursera content, it would be, I think, approximately $49 to $59 a month. So that's a pretty good deal for us because the system is covering the cost of this. So that's what I tell students anytime they are interested in getting more licenses. I'm like, take advantage of it now, because not only are you getting the certifications now while you are a student, but you can attach an alternate email to your student account within Coursera and continue your learning beyond graduation. Now, we wouldn't be paying for that, or the system's not paying for that, but it does get them in this cycle of habits where they are learning more and more and more, and it starts right here within the College of Business.
So within a 4-month traditional semester, that would be worth $200 to $240,
sure,
somewhere in that range. That's a bargain.
It is. It is. It's definitely a bargain, especially if they take advantage of it. And a lot of students have taken advantage of it.
So did you get to mingle with any industry representatives there and how they're using it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and because I primarily went to the education breakout sessions. I primarily stuck with the education element of it. But yes, there were, again, so many industry and government partners that were there that, yeah, we got to hear them on the keynote panels and how they are integrating Coursera within their businesses. I know that I went to a Coursera conference. It wasn't a Coursera conference. It was a different conference, but it was associated with Coursera. It wasn't this. It was like a regional Coursera conference. And they had talked about Walmart. There were some representatives from Walmart there. There were representatives from John Deere there, and just how they are integrating Coursera certifications within their employee development. You mingle with these industry partners in different ways. Coursera also has online learning available and coffee chats that are available for all of us to attend anytime we want, so that we can get associated with other people, whether it's in academia or outside.
Mary Liz, I tell my students every time that these certification programs come at no additional cost to them, but I have no idea what they cost. What kind of value are they getting?
Sure. So depending on what they are aiming to achieve with Coursera, the prices vary. But if it's a guided project, it's probably going to be a lower cost to them, just because those are more practical, less rigorous, easy to do projects in a short amount of time, as compared to the full professional certification that has courses, modules, and you spend a lot more time doing it. What I know is that the cost varies between $49 to $59 a month. And that is the out-of-pocket cost for a consumer who is, you know, not obviously part of this pilot program or anything.
So in a traditional 4-month semester, that would be a cash value of somewhere between $200 and $240. That's a bargain.
Yeah, it's a big bargain. And, you know, how we as a university are trying to lower the costs for students to, you know, enroll in the school and lower textbook costs and things of that nature, this just adds to that as well. We want them to get their education and not at a huge price tag. And so that's why this is so valuable for us, this pilot program.
The fact that large companies, and I'm going to presume a lot of them are Fortune 500 companies, have integrated Coursera into their own in-house professional development programs tells me that they find great value in this. I think one of the bigger takeaways for our students is that they've already swum in these waters. They understand the Coursera culture, so that when they go to work for one of these Fortune 500 companies and suddenly discover that their employer is pushing more Coursera programs, they're not going to have any problem adapting to this because they've already done it.
Yeah, exactly. I think that because of the world that we live in with the internet, there is no excuse for students not to continue their learning and to continue updating their knowledge. And so companies, businesses, they understand that too. So you can't just rely on what you learned 10 years ago. So they want a student, they want an employee who knows the value of continuing their education in whatever way that looks like. Maybe it's getting a higher degree at an institution, or it's continuing on with the practice of using Coursera to earn micro-credentials because you learned that from the College of Business. So it is just getting them into this habit of just continuing their learning, and that what is what makes them stand apart. That's what's going to get them promotions, more money, whatever they are looking for. If they can continue their learning beyond graduation, they're going to be in good.
When we come back, we'll dive into the future of certification programs as well as Coursera here in the College of Business.
There's a reason why our programs are rated so highly by independent reviewers. We are committed to continuously improving what we do. Whether it is in the classroom or online, the Paul and Virginia Engler College of Business strives to stay ahead of the curve, not behind it. Join us in the classroom or online and see the difference. We're WACSB accredited and among the most elite business schools around the world. Reach for the stars and do it with a WT business degree in hand. For more info, find us online at wtamu.edu/cob or call 806-651-2525. From the Texas Panhandle to the world, we are here to help you reach for those stars.
Both semesters that I have used the Google Digital Marketing and e-commerce certification course, my students were initially a little fearful over the time commitment. These certification programs can be thought of as a course within a course, and they really are. And they require a significant time investment to complete them, not to mention the rest of the course that I provide. On this Google course in particular, it says it takes about 60 hours to finish it. And I think that might be just a little high, but I do also tell my students that probably the best way they can do this is to just bang it out over a 2 or 3 day session, like maybe pray for a blizzard or something and they're snowbound and they can't go anywhere. Just do this for 2 or 3 days. You'll be fine. But in every case, though, while there was some wincing early on, both the times, my students ended up at the end of the semester feeling pretty good about their results. They didn't have any complaints. Whatever fears and apprehensions they had at the beginning were gone. They were just happy to have the certificate in hand. So my question for you is, where do we go from here?
So where do we go from here? Well, right now we're focused on year two of the pilot program, and we want to put up some big numbers too in terms of the hours students learn, the certifications they've earned, the comments that we're getting from students, how it is helping them. We really want to see that increase beyond what we did in year one. Now, I do want to talk about the point that you made in terms of like fear and apprehension, and that's kind of where we as faculty come in as cheerleaders for these students, and, you know, holding them accountable in terms of like, hey, you can do this. You just have to structure your time. So in the last couple of classes, this one that I mentioned, my principles of marketing, as well as the class last semester that was just focused on the different students in different disciplines earning certifications, they have to create their own timeline of when they are going to finish the certifications. And so I kind of box those in with grading. So for example, in my principles of marketing, I just had them, whatever certification they selected, they had to give me a timeline, a personalized timeline where they are going to finish course one. And they had to outline how many modules are in course one, because sometimes that can get confusing for them. They will think that maybe one module is one course, and it's not. So anyway, I told them, I'm like, you got to tell me what the course is, the certification name is, how many courses are within that, and how many modules are within that. And then you are going to work backwards in terms of giving me a timeline. This is due. Your full professional certification is due by the end of finals on December 11th. So work from there, work backwards. And whatever you say, is the grade, that's the date I'm going to put a grade in for how much you've completed in course one, course two, course three. So although it does look like from Coursera's end, because you have to remember Coursera was built for industry. It wasn't built for the education arm until later. And so that's why this pilot program is helping Coursera as well, because we're giving them feedback in terms of like, hey, this took this amount of time for our students. What can we do to maybe turn off the timeline that Coursera is giving them because it doesn't match with what they are doing? So again, this was built for industry professionals who already have a full-time job, who are maybe doing Coursera at night or on the weekends. So yeah, it's going to take them longer. But with students and how it's integrated in the courses, they come up with their own timelines, at least for me. And I just tell them, because I'll get students who are like, how do I do this? I'm like, you just got to, chunk it out. Follow your own timeline and you're going to be successful. Because once you get in there, it does go by quickly. And you know a lot more than what you think you might know. So in terms of the apprehension and the fear, yes, I heard that from students. And also I had some apprehension and fear because I didn't know, what this was and how long it would take. But going through it, I know better how to instruct them and be their cheerleader, and that's been really helpful. But your question, how do we move forward or what are we doing? We're just going to create more opportunities for the College of Business students to earn these credentials. We want more creative ideas on how to get people to integrate it into their courses if they so choose. So that's what we're doing moving forward. Now, long term, that's up to the system. It's been successful. So I feel very positive that hopefully this is something that we will see on a long term basis, but that's not my call.
So what kind of things can we be doing to help you to make this case to the system? What kind of results do they want to see? The completion rates?
Any of that quantitative data that we can get from Coursera and the back end of Coursera, that definitely helps. But I think what they really want to know is student impact from the students themselves. How is this helping you get an interview? How is Coursera, not just Coursera, but obviously your college education, how is all of this working together to help you get to where you want to go? How are you getting promotions because we integrated Coursera along with the other coursework? So they want to know that impact factor from students specifically, because the numbers are easy to get.
I'm using the same certification course this fall in my undergrad digital marketing class, and I have to wonder, what is the shelf life of some of these courses? How long do they remain current and relevant? Because in a field like digital marketing and e-commerce, boy, the landscape changes pretty much every day. And while Google did a fantastic job putting this class together, I could imagine after a certain amount of time, I'm not sure how much time, but it might begin to look like an old Gilligan's Island rerun or something, may as well be in black and white. So how often do they, revise these things?
So I don't know the ins and outs and the logistics of how often they revise it, but I would say that I know I heard at the conference that after 3 years, at least for their students, they tell them this is not going to, the certification, you've got to re-up at least after 3 years. And that's just what they're telling their students. So I am not saying that Coursera is taking 3 years to, or their partners are taking 3 years to update the content. I think that Coursera and their content partners are updating it very frequently. And that's what's also good about us in terms of doing this pilot program and the feedback that we can give Coursera. Because if I hear from a faculty member, hey, there's actually a new way to do this, I can send that to Coursera and be like, hey, you might want to tell your content partner that, we know about this way, and then they'll funnel that information to them, so it is reciprocal in nature in terms of what we know and what we can send along to them, and vice versa, what they know. I mean, these are industry people doing the content, so they know what's on the cusp. They know the emerging trends, and they are turning that information over to Coursera or recreating information as quickly as they can, I'm sure.
Even though AI has technically been around since the 1950s, it's only in the last 3 years that it became a household word. What kinds of courses have you seen come out recently focusing on AI?
I think that it would be easier to say what courses I haven't seen that have AI. So what I will say is that I also get into the courses and try and update my own knowledge. For example, right now I'm teaching this special topics courses related to graphic design and using the Adobe platforms, InDesign, Photoshop, and Illustrator. So Coursera, to help me, because I think I took this course 20 years ago, and it's completely different now, the platforms are. And then I taught this course a few years ago, but it's been a while since I've gotten into the Adobe platform. So the first thing that I did was look into Coursera and the Career Academy, and they have an Adobe graphic design certification. They also have an Xbox graphic design certification. So to help me with that class, I am going through those certifications and relearning, like, yes, I remember this. But in terms of the AI, that content within the Adobe Professional Certification has specific segments on AI and how the tools within Photoshop, Illustrator, InDesign are using AI. So then that helps me, you know, teach the students, here's how you can use these AI tools. You're using the traditional way we use the tools and AI. So that is what I am seeing in some of the certifications. I mean, I think at this point, AI is bigger than all of us. We're doing the students a disservice if we're not teaching them the right way and the ethics of using AI and how these companies are using AI. So Coursera is a partner in that. They are not afraid of AI and using it, not only just within the content, but also how the students are receiving the content. There is an AI helper within Coursera. Like if the student needs more exercises or if they need their answers checked or whatever, there is this AI bot within Coursera that will help them.
Now, Mary Liz, if you had a wish list of courses that Coursera had, but they don't currently have, what would they be?
Wow, that's a good question, a tough question, because obviously I don't know the extent. I don't have an exhaustive list of Coursera's Career Academy content or even beyond that. But let's see, anytime, I will say this, anytime I am asked to speak about something related to Coursera for a specific discipline, I will go to Coursera and their search bar and I'll type in, you know, whatever the topic is that I need to talk about or find, and it's always there. Something is always there related to a discipline. So I want to first say that I feel like whatever I say or whatever my wish list is already happened on Coursera. I think about things like AI, but they already have courses in AI. I think about strategy. They have courses in strategy. I mean, they have courses in content creation. So my feeble mind, it cannot develop a wish list that Coursera hasn't already thought of.
In other words, it's that good.
It's that good. I mean, I can tell you, if we have a moment, the various categories of disciplines and the multiple certifications under that, just in Career Academy. So for example, information technology, if somebody wants to learn about that, there are several certifications within cloud computing, data management, support and operations, security. And that comes from Google, IBM, Microsoft, AWS, so the Amazon cloud support, Meta, another category, business and marketing. If you want to learn about business essentials, entrepreneurship, business strategy, marketing, finance, leadership and management. I'm looking here at this paper, and it's dozens of certifications within that. Also within computer science, and also within data science and data analysis. So I just cannot express to you enough the catalog of certifications that one can get within the College of Business specifically for them and their discipline.
My guest today has been Dr. Mary Liz Brooks, the Associate Professor of Digital Business and Communication, and also the Barbara Petty Professor of Business Communication. Thanks for being on the show again, Mary Liz. Let's just keep giving our students the best possible opportunities, because in a sea of other job applicants, one extra line on your resume could make all the difference. Fade to black, roll credits.
You've been listening to Buff Speak from the Paul and Virginia Engler College of Business at West Texas A&M University. Our executive producer is Justin Lovell, and Allison Hunter is our associate producer. Our co-editors are Maverick Evans and Paul Torres. Lindsay Bjork is our director of marketing and outreach initiatives, which includes overseeing Buff Speak. Dr. Jeffrey Babb is director of accreditation and is our technical consultant. Finally, Dr. Amjad Abdulat is Dean of the College. You can find us online at wtamu.edu/COB for more information about our programs. Be sure to check out our many academic offerings. Come for the quality, stay for the small classes, affordable tuition, and friendly, approachable professors. And look online at our faculty blog, profspeak.com, for more insights. You can listen to Buff Speak on your favorite podcast portal, as well as on our website, buffspeak.biz. And if you like what you've been hearing, don't be afraid to share us with your friends, colleagues, and family. Word of mouth has always been the best form of advertising. Until next time, love one another. For the Paul and Virginia Engler College of Business at West Texas A&M University, I am Dr. Nick Gerlich. And as always, go Buffs!
Buff Speak.